This is the Idle Thumbs Pod Blast for...
It's the Idle News Pod Blast.
Oh, yeah. This is the Idle News Pod Blast for June 18th, 2009. And I'm Chris Remo.
And I'm Jake Rodkin.
And there's nobody else here.
Yep. We are lame and sitting in Chris's apartment by ourselves.
Nick's in Morocco, and...
And we killed Steve Gaynor.
Yeah, he's dead now.
No, he's alive.
Oh, okay, good. So, no, it was a close call. I don't know. I'm glad they pulled it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pulled it off. The paramedics. You know. Hey!
Oh, Jesus.
Video games.
Yeah. So we're here all by ourselves because we're dumb.
It's true.
A second ago, I said we were awesome.
Well, anyway. There's only so long you can carry on that charade.
Yeah, so... So what's up?
Not much.
Sweet.
I hear you're dead or ill.
I'm ill for sure.
Yeah.
I'm pretty ill. I'm licensed. Good.
Because you're working on a Monkey Island game.
I'm making a Tale of Monkey Island at Telltale Games.
We forgot
Games.
To actually talk about that.
We didn't talk about that last week, but that's okay. Yeah. At E3, we announced that we're making a new episodic series based on Monkey Island. And you should all play it. TelltaleGames.com. That's the first time I think I've ever actually done that. That's really gross. Sorry, everyone, for doing that. But yeah, it has caused me to not sleep or eat or play video games.
But it can't stop you from podcasting.
It can't stop me from trying three nights in a row to make a podcast and throw them all away.
Yeah, we tried this yesterday and things went wrong.
Yeah, it was awesome. But we're back with a blast.
Yep.
So what are you doing, Chris?
I've been playing a lot of games for very short periods of time.
Like a little sampler?
Yeah, like a cheese plate of games.
That's good.
Yeah. Some use Steam, I use the digital cheese plate.
.biz.
Yeah. Man, why did people stop making websites for us?
I don't know, but hopefully someone will get digital cheese plate.biz, yeah. A virtual smorgasbord of video games.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, you know. Yeah. I've been playing a bunch of games on Steam that I've been a lot of them actually I'd already bought.
So you've been like, yeah, we're at the point now where, you know, people always complain about having the sort of stockpile of games that they've bought that they're never going to play, and now with the perpetual Steam sale, everyone also has the like
right, exactly
the Steam list of games. Like, oh, I bought this because I got my credit card in it already.
Yeah, I know, it's ridiculous how easy
$5.
It is. Yeah. That $5 is sort of my threshold where if you're at that point, like if I'm remotely interested in a game, and it's on Steam and it's that
you'll
price,
just vacuum
like,
it up for $5.
I'll pretty much just get it. There's almost no reason not to. I mean, honestly, like you could do that a dozen times.
There's a starving kid in Africa.
Oh,
who you could give that $5 to, or you could give your license for Peggle.
Jesus. Yeah.
What?
Steam donations?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
I ruined that, apparently.
Yeah, now I'm guilty. Or not, I'm guilty.
Yeah, so what
guilty.
Have you been playing?
Well, one of the things I did pick up was Shadowgrounds, which no one ever talks about ever.
We've talked about it before.
Have we? Oh, yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like it's a top-down kind of Robotron-style shooter thing. It's really simplistic. I don't even really know entirely why I'm playing it, but it's, I mean, I know why I'm playing it. It's because we've talked on this podcast before about Trine, which is the upcoming Wizard side scroller.
Oh, that's
not
right.
Actually the Wizard side scroller, but
I'm pretty sure it's the Wizard colon the side yeah. scroller. But yeah, no, this is a game that those guys made before they made Wizard the side scroller.
They're a Finnish development studio. They're one of those studios who I don't entirely know how they exist. Like this is one of those studios who, it seemed like there used to be a lot of these guys.
A lot of Finnish developers?
No, a lot of small studios that could somehow make these very specific games and sell them to some number of people and like keep existing.
Like Shareware?
Yeah, like the companies who did Shareware, exactly. That's actually a really good comparison. Like these guys, I don't think these were ever released as Sharewares, but that's exactly what I mean. Like,
oh man, as Sharewares.
Sharewares, yeah. With a Z.
Yeah, oh man.
But no, that's actually, I hadn't made that connection in my mind, but yeah, that's like, if you know what I mean, that's kind of the type of developer I'm thinking of.
Yep.
Who make games for like not a huge audience, but kind of a specific group of people that they can keep selling stuff to and somehow keep the lights open. And that's kind of I don't know if accurately or not, but that's kind of how I think of these guys, because I don't know how else you could operate.
So they made like a Robotron clone?
Yeah, they made like a...
Is it actually that analogous to Robotron?
No. I mean, there's a bit, you know...
And what's it called again?
Shadowgrounds.
Okay.
It takes place on like a different planet.
Like a Robotron?
Mars
planet Robotron?
Yeah. It's, you know, it's not like stage-based like Robotron. I mean, you're...
So it's like open world Robotron?
Yes. Grand Theft Robotron is what I like to call Shadowgrounds. No. It's just you go through levels and they're... fairly linear with some kind of arena type stuff, but I mean, you go from point A to point B, but it's not like a just like a square like Robotron. I mean, you're going through an actual
base.
How is
it like Robotron?
Because it's top down and you're running around and shooting.
Smash TV, same.
Yeah, you've got your WASD for movement, and then you've got your mouse to shoot, and you're just kind of.
So it's like Robotron.
Thanks, Jake. I'm playing the first one for whatever reason. But I've heard the second one's better. I probably should have started with that. But it's pretty fun.
Well, maybe the second one wasn't $5.
You're right. but I think you can actually Jeez. I think you can actually get both of them in a deal for $15. So I don't know. But it's cool. It's kind of a fun thing to do. It's kind of one of those games where I play it and have fun, but then I'm guilty. I'm not playing something more like
manly,
ambitious. You know, I don't know, like something that is more rewarding or sort of complete,
like with an achievement system.
Right.
I'll just
no.
keep saying a thing after everything you say, because we got no one else.
I can't
here.
Say I am. I'm
sorry, everyone.
That's fine. But do you know what I mean at all? Like, do you ever? I mean, it's like how I feel when I like. For example, I mean, you mentioned Peggle earlier. That's definitely one of those games where it's not the best example because
every minute
not...
you're spending playing Peggle, you could be playing some astounding, mind blowing game,
right.
And you can feel your life ticking away with every drop of the ball on a peg.
Right, exactly. And every, it's not the best example because I'm not the biggest Peggle fan. But actually, like, what's that game that PopCap just made that I played all the way fucking through?
Plants vs. Zombies.
Yes, Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah,
that's a really good example of that, where I played through the entire campaign, and the whole time I was just like, this is moderately fun, but like, I'm not.
Yeah, but what,
getting anything out of this? I don't know.
I sometimes feel that way, but also whatever. For instance, full confession.
Yeah.
I bought Peggle for 99 cents on the iPhone when it was 99 cents last week.
I heard a lot of people did that,
and it's the only game I've played all week. Because
really?
Well, that's only because I can just pop open the stupid thing and play.
Yeah,
but
does it actually work well on that with the touch stuff?
Yeah, it's like Peggle.
Well, true. Fair enough.
I mean, do you want me to talk about Peggle iPhone on the podcast? I don't know if we need to do that.
Oh, well, we don't need to, but I don't know. It seems like a lot of people bought it.
You drag your finger around to control the angle, or you can double tap to zoom in for more fine adjustment. And there's a sort of tuning knob on the – you can scroll up and down the side of the screen to do even more fine tuning.
I see.
So you can really, really get into Peggling.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got the free Peggle with the orange box like the rest of the world, but then I sort of didn't really – I sort of kind of thought that maybe I would want to play it and then realized that it would be a horrible idea to do that. Because, one, it would destroy my life. Two, the game just sort of annoys me on principle.
Yeah, same here. But, that's my problem.
But then when it was 99 cents, I was like, fuck me. All right, fine.
Yeah.
Fine, Peggle. You win this round, stupid unicorn.
I actually considered buying it for 99 cents because I saw so many goddamn posts on Twitter with people being like, just picked up the new Peggle on my phone. It's really cheap. And I'm like, oh, I could. It's only $1. I'm not going to miss it. But I...
But then
you
thought of the African child.
Yes. God damn it. You're just going to keep reinforcing this image in my mind.
Sorry.
So all I can think about when I make frivolous game purchases is African children.
Jesus.
That's weird. Now I wish I wasn't even talking about this.
Yeah, you've ruined it even further.
Sorry. No, though. It's funny. I may have already mentioned this on a previous episode. I don't remember. But a couple months ago, I had two or three pages of games and other apps on my iPhone. And I'm like, I don't need all this shit on my app, and I'm not using all this stuff simultaneously. So I'm just going to pare down the stuff I'm not using. And then, and kind of in a, I don't know, I'm just like, well, fuck it. And I just deleted every single game I have. And I actually haven't bought a single game on my iPhone since then. And I haven't really missed it at all. It's really weird. So that was also partially why I didn't buy Peggle.
Yeah.
It's because now I'm just.
iPhone games are, I've bought a lot of them just because, like, for kind of the same reason that I buy things on Steam. Like, or that we were,
we're
talking about, it's like,
and,
hey,
yeah.
This is like $2, whatever.
Right.
Well, that's there now.
Right, exactly.
I played a decent amount of Galcon when I first got
I remember that. I played a lot of, what was the tower defense? Field Runners. I played a lot of that for a while. That was part of the one game. That and like word-based games like Wordle.
Mm-hmm.
Those are probably the only games I've ever played a lot of on the iPhone. And I did play a fucking lot of them. But I kind of got to the point where, even more so than like sort of a guilty pleasure Steam game that I was describing, I don't know, I don't think.
Well, the difference is that with the Steam games, I do eventually get back to them usually and put at least a few hours into my $5. But with the iPhone, there have been a few times where it's like, oh, like, I mean, I'm sure the number one of those was probably Super Monkey Ball on launch day where everyone's like, App Store, Super Monkey Ball. Well, that was $4 and 20 minutes of watching a sort of Sega Genesis sprite of a monkey rolling around. That's too bad.
Yeah. I just don't enjoy it that much as a gaming platform, I guess.
But Peggle's pretty good.
No, I've heard it's good. I've heard it's good. That's fine.
No, Peggle.
Like, it's not like there aren't good things on it, but I guess I just sort of decided I have so many fucking gaming platforms all in my life simultaneously. I guess I just figured this is one that I don't really love. Like, I love my iPhone as a device a lot. I use it, like, to a degree that it sort of frightens me. Like, I don't really...
Like, it could be fused with your hand at this point.
It's horrible. It kind of disturbs me a bit because it's like, I didn't even have one of these things like 3 years ago. And I think I was doing fine. But like, anyway, that's another issue. But as far as the game, I don't feel that way about it as a gaming platform. And so I've kind of just stopped playing games on it.
So what else were you playing on the cheese plate?
Other than Shadowgrounds, I just like literally 2 days ago started playing Cryostasis, which came out last month to no fanfare at all, as far as I can tell. It's by, I think, a Russian developer. It's a kind of first-person, adventure-y, sort of slight shooter kind of thing. It's set in a frozen-over ship, like an icebreaker ship, that has gotten just permanently wedged into place.
Wasn't that in a Half-Life game or canceled from a Half-Life game?
Well, it's potentially in the upcoming Episode 3. And there's also a scene like that in Crysis.
Okay.
I mean, there's been that concept art.
So it's that scene from Crysis, but they put some more syllables.
Right. Yeah, exactly. There is that concept art from Episode 3, that awesome concept art of Gordon.
That's right, of the frozen ship with
the Borealis. Yeah.
That's a game that I want to play really fucking bad.
Shit.
But no, this is the game you were telling me about it earlier.
Yeah.
I wonder when that was. where you go inside of a dead body and make them not die.
Yeah,
puzzling.
Right.
Apostrophe.
You come across. It's kind of, actually. I have something to say about this that I didn't think of earlier. You come across corpses that are these frozen corpses in this place. People who have died on this ship, and I don't entirely know why you're there yet. But it's one of those games where, kind of like Bioshock, you're sent somewhere. It seems. Or you end up somewhere inadvertently, and you're kind of finding out why you're there, and
like a mystery,
you got to solve it, and you touch these people, and then you inhabit their past, and you do whatever you do as that person to keep them from dying, essentially, and then when you transfer back to your own body in the present, whatever thing you change is different.
Ha.
And
that actually sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, and it's funny because apparently there's some kind of like loosely defined psychic resonance power thing you have. It's like whatever bullshit they always think of for video games. And it's funny because when I hadn't read any plot synopses or anything about this game, I'd kind of been
you went in spoiler free.
Yeah, well, sort of. I'd kind of not deliberately. Per se, but I just, I'd heard general things about this game and seen a couple screenshots and stuff along the way, and I kind of knew it was coming out, and I knew it was set in the ice, but I didn't know that it had the player had this power, and I was actually kind of disappointed to learn that, because I was liking it when I was like my first kind of hour or so through the game, and I had no idea why suddenly I was jumping back into this person's memory and doing these things, and I kind of liked
that. You thought it was just a weird abstract narrative device?
Yeah, well, or something. I didn't know what it was. It could have been, It's and I figured maybe it was me doing something.
And then like a general comes in, attention, you have a psychic power.
No, you sort of, I forget how exactly you figured out. I think the game might even actually just tell you in a little tooltip that pops up. Which was,
use psychic power. What?
Well, because the whole time it's been like, press C to crouch, like, and then eventually that comes up. And
press F to win the game.
Right. Nintendo help enabled it.
Yes.
It made me kind of think it would be interesting to see more games that do things like that and have enough, I guess, faith in their players to to not to necessarily immediately couch it.
Tips.
Well, yeah, but you know, as a broader issue, not feel the need to couch whatever you're doing in like a very explicit sort of, this is the crazy phenomenon that's going on. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
there doesn't need to be the three wiki pages explaining right. the yeah. inner mechanics of your, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, sci-fi movies forever always really love showing you exactly how, like, the door to the spaceship opens.
Right. Yeah, it's funny. Jake, we were talking about this, like, a month ago or something, and it's not entirely related. It's slightly different, but I don't know. On that note, I was reading some stuff about the original Star Trek series. I'd never really known much about Star Trek, and then the Star Trek episodes were on free to watch on YouTube, the original series free to watch on YouTube a while back. And so I watched them all, and I went and I was reading some stuff about Gene Roddenberry, and it was saying when he thought of this Stardate conceit, to him that was just some vague system, that it was sort of a thing where it's like, when, you know, he had it in the little writer's guide, and it was like, when you write a Star Trek episode, you have some numbers that you make up and you put them in front of a thing and it says Stardate this, and it just kind of places you in that world, and they have a different system of keeping time than we do, and it has different factors involved, but who the fuck cares what it is? It doesn't really matter. And there was never any intention at all to maintain any kind of consistency, but anyone watching the show would never, I certainly never would have noticed that. It made me really happy because it was one of those things that, just because of his intention, it made it impossible for all the dorks to go back and, like, work out all the formulae involved for creating a Stardate, which is exactly right. What they would have done if they could. Like, no offense to guys who are into that kind of thing, but sort of
offense to you, like, apparently. Yeah. Jeez.
Well, I don't mean offense, like, personally, but I mean, I do – that just – that does stuff does kind of – I do think it's kind of dumb. Like, I don't think there's any need to go into that. And I like the fact that he specifically has stated in ways that cannot really be argued. Like, well, it's just something that's there, and it's just kind of part of what this world is, and that's about it. And I kind of like that attitude. It's not completely analogous to this. This is more of a metaphysical, like, weird thing. But I don't know. I wish there were more game developers who were willing to take that approach and not get bogged down.
Not the approach to deliberately sabotage your fans, but just to...
Well, yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally don't really mind things that have a very specific
sure.
design behind them in that regard, yeah. but yeah, I feel like, yeah, people spend sometimes too much time or feel the need to explain their reasoning, and actually, like, what, you don't think that, okay, well, look, all right, here, I'll pull back the curtain and show you the exact 400 years of backstory behind this, and like the
right.
Yeah, it's, not doing that is also fine.
Yeah. And so I was, that kind of came to mind when I was playing Cryostasis for some weird reason, but I still like the basic concept, and I'll play more of it.
But yeah. So it does at least not have someone say, remember when you were six and you fell off the fence and,
yeah.
You know.
Well, it might, I don't know. I don't want to. Yeah. It does have kind of flashback sequences that actually pertain to your own character that I think are just straight up memories. But those tend to be memories of things that happened literally like moments before the game began. I
thought you were going to say moments before, where it's just, it's like a ghost car of yourself where you go back.
And, yeah.
What?
That would be crazy. God, I think we talked about this before, but I'm still blown away. We talked about this actually during one of the GDC casts, but I'm still blown away by that goddamn Archon RTS game, where you can just constantly be going back in time and into the future and shit. Jesus.
One thing,
because that does have stuff like that.
Yeah. One thing that Steve was talking about on the failed version of this was that you could potentially possess a slab of meat.
Yeah.
I think we have a clip of that. Can we play that?
The clip that I've seen from that game is that you inhabit the body of a cat. Oh, no. You inhabit the body of, like, a steak. Like, there's a steak that was sitting on a table, and you go into it, and then you see the cow's last moment where he's on a conveyor belt, and the cows in front of him are, like, getting their heads chopped off by a guillotine, and then you just go into the guillotine, and it falls down and goes back to black.
Yeah, I've only inhabited humanoids up to this point.
So apparently you can't save that cow's life.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, is that everyone is, like, you encounter dead bodies frozen in ice or whatever, and you can change the past to make it so they never got frozen in ice. So it would be amazing if you could, like, get into that cow and, like, you have sentience now, so you, like, jump off the conveyor belt and you actually have to, like, run out the front doors
then
before
you do,
the
like,
guys
a kung fu move.
No.
Okay, well, not that doesn't happen.
No, but I was just, you know, like if you could actually escape out out the front door into the field, and then that piece of steak just disappears. That would be awesome.
I needed to recharge my health. I'll go back and do that again.
But yeah, Cryostasis, a weird game.
Yeah, it is odd, and it's odd. I think I mentioned this. It's odd how it seems to have.
There, see, now we just played that clip of Steve talking about it.
All right, well, thanks, Steve. Weird. Okay.
See what I just
did? We just altered the path of this podcast by going back in time and possessing ourselves from yesterday, altering the path of the present.
We didn't actually do that. We played an audio recording. Shh. It's an audio log.
Man, you're being the guy now. You're being the tooltip who's coming up and explaining it all.
Here's what actually happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, one thing I should warn about this game is that the system requirements are a little steep. So if you actually are interested in this game, I would check that out. But I do hope this game does at least moderately well. I know it's not going to be. I don't think the review scores have been off the charts, but they haven't been terrible either. And it's the kind of thing where I would like to see this developer do more stuff, because it's such a different game. Like, it's a very low key, at least what I've played of it so far. It's a very reserved, low-key game in a way that is very unusual. Man, you're busting up over there. What's going on?
I'd like to see it do moderately well.
I'd like to see it do well, but I'm just saying realistically,
it's probably not going to blow the doors. I'd like to see them stay in business, but still, you'll be wanting more.
Thanks, Jake. Now I'm an asshole. No, I would personally like to see it do well, but I suspect that it probably is not going to be a massive success just based on how much attention I've seen it get. But yeah, I don't know. Good luck to those guys.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Woo.
It actually reminded me of Penumbra a bit, which you were also playing. Yeah, I've also been playing. Also, not long enough to be very concrete on one.
So, like 7.5.
Yeah, you know, 7.3, 7.7.
Oh, yeah.
Solid.
Oh man, somewhere in there. Solid. It's a solid 7.7.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I have no idea what the score would be, but it's also a kind of first person adventure-y thing. A little closer to
physics engine.
Yeah, with heavy physics stuff, but it's closer to a
heavy physics.
Heavy. It's a little closer to a more traditional adventure thing.
It's like you like point and click. You have some 9 verbs.
Yeah, it's actually a text parser.
Oh,
yeah, you'd be surprised. No, it's a first person game, but it's got.
I think it just might surprise it's,
you. Oh man, did you see that clip of Iwata from the Nintendo press conference?
No, like, was there? Was
it
there
will a- please you with a depth that might surprise you.
Whoa.
Which really enjoyed me.
Good morning. When you insert your finger in the inner world of your body, this will please you with a depth that might surprise you. I very much look forward to that day. Thank you very much.
I enjoyed it.
That's that is a mustache twirling. Yes. Like, Iwata loves those moments. Perhaps it has a second port, and we'll reveal soon what that does.
You'll find this port has a little secret involved or something. Didn't he say something like that?
Yeah, yes. It's a microphone port.
Yeah. Well, I thought there was a secret.
You'll see when we never release a microphone headset peripheral.
Oh, yeah. Did they never do that?
I don't know. Maybe they did. Talk to Pikachu might have appeared.
That's
on that
the secret.
System or something.
You can't buy it.
I think it probably has a mic. Is there one?
It's got a mic on the system, so there probably wasn't a huge market for that.
Listen.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I like when Iwata does that, sort of.
You love it.
It's my favorite.
You live for it, for sassy, coy hints from the president of Nintendo.
Yeah. Anyway. Man, by the way, speaking of Nintendo... Now they'll help you beat the game.
That's true. They will help you beat the game. You just pause it, and then I guess it just takes over.
Yeah. Kind of weird. It's a very strange thing. Like, I wonder... I don't know. Like, I've seen...
Do you hate playing a game?
Yeah. No, it's okay. I mean, I don't know. I've seen people online compare it to hint guides, but I don't really think it's the same thing.
The hint guide's in the game! Is the game!
Yeah. I mean, even a hint guide in the game is a little different. You know, I mean...
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, maybe I could talk about Telltale games. Our games have an in-game hint system that isn't... But it's where characters will just... There's, you know, a constant sort of layer of logic that's running that sees how long it has been since you've done something, or where, you know, how many times you've gone back and forth in an environment without interacting, or how many times you've talked to people in ways that aren't critical path. And then characters will start saying, oh, maybe you should go over here. But it... it doesn't ever actually just like grab Sam and Sam and Max and like, all right, I am now walking him to the goddamn moon because you paused the game.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is. Right, I don't think you actually, if you leave the game on pause for too long,
yeah, it's like
Sonic
the
Hedgehog
like the
sort of starts tapping his foot and looks at the screen and then it says, all right, fuck.
Well, fuck it. I'm just going. I'm screw you. Yeah. That would actually be amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little different, I guess, because, I mean, has there ever been a hint guide for a Mario game? Like, has anyone ever published that?
No. I don't know. Yes. What? Of course. No. No. Yeah, Nintendo. Like, the Mario Player's Guides came with Nintendo Power.
Oh, right. Of course. Yeah, I'm stupid.
Yeah. Pfft. Hello.
Yeah. But it's weird, though. I mean, it's like, I can't get past that Goomba. You know what I mean? Like, there's no hint guide for that. I mean, I guess that's why they're making this.
Press A to jump on a guy.
Right, exactly. It's weird. I wonder if you'll be able to literally just turn it on at the beginning of the game.
It's
and
like
just
Nintendo on.
Imagine how much easier it'll be to capture gameplay footage. You can just, I don't know, put it on, go get a cup of coffee.
All the YouTube playthroughs of perfect playthrough of Mario 3 ruined because you can just press perfect playthrough of Mario 3.
And you know what would actually be kind of sweet is if you could race the tutorial ghost. That would be kind of awesome.
Race the tutorial ghost? Yeah.
I mean, if it was just a ghost and not your actual guy, I mean, I wonder if it is. Maybe it's a guy. Maybe it's a ghost.
Maybe it's actually the Nintendo helpline has copies of the game, and it's using Wii Connect 24.
Yeah. The Nintendo Game Master,
right,
whatever
it's
called.
It's like the Dell or HP help client where you can talk to a person on chat. Oh, you want me to get that? Hold on. Boo-boo. Player 3 is synced up. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. He just kills you. What? See ya. 99 cents for the first minute.
Right. Yeah, this is going to be hard. That would actually be amazing. This is going to be really hard to do in a 3D game, though. I mean, maybe it's not. I don't know. But it seems like...
Well, maybe it doesn't... Given that no one knows anything about how this actually works, it could also just be, oh, you want to get over there? Bloop, you're there.
Right.
Congrats, you're through the door.
Yeah.
You're on level 6. You could just debug that and...
That's true. Yeah. As opposed to you watching them do it.
Yeah, I mean, well, is it a first party only thing, or is it actually like, because it seems like...
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to implement it.
Right, write your own thing. I mean, it's not like, oh, we've got Nintendo help control your character library.
No, I mean, I'm pretty sure you've got it. I would imagine this kind of thing would require fairly extensive implementation for each game.
Yeah, it seems like the sort of thing that Nintendo would not... Based on just sort of the way that Nintendo stuff works, I can't imagine third parties adopting this
without it being a super
sticky thing like EA casual stuff might just because they want to hop on that bandwagon if it catches on, but it's not like achievements.
Right.
Where there actually is a sort of layer on top.
Right.
Like,
I mean, Nintendo honestly, most of their stuff does not work like that. I mean, this is how most of their stuff is, where you've got to really just implement it on a case-by-case basis
into
each
menu.
Game. Right.
I don't know if I can talk about that. Is that a known thing that every developer has to implement their own instance of the home menu? Okay. Like, it's not like the Xbox where you press the Xbox button.
And it's an actual system-level
overlay.
It's not
where it's like your engine is now drawing its own version of the Blade library. It's a...
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's totally different. Yeah. Nintendo doesn't do a lot of stuff with kind of one-size-fits-all APIs.
They don't.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
it's odd. So, I don't know. Maybe this is the first time. No matter what your game is, you know, you're playing through Call of Duty and then woohoo, Mario just comes in and finishes the level for you.
Mario. Yeah. Mario's your helper. Yeah. Yeah. That would be pretty great.
Or maybe it could be the help cat from the picture channel could also just show up and allow me.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Pixel Cat.
Sweet.
I'd play that.
So that's probably happening.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah.
We're under arrest for being awesome.
Yeah. It is odd, though. I mean, I really think it's a really strict... Like, I think even the fact that they're implementing it at all is a crazy thing. Like, I mean, I don't know. It kind of makes me... this may be a topic we don't even want to talk about because it's stupid and long and grumbly. But, like, so just cut me off if so. But I don't know. It is... as much as Nintendo... It's interesting and it's cool that they're trying to get more people involved in games. I do... What?
No, I just... I get as much eye rolling and sighing in as I possibly can. Yeah.
Thanks. I wonder if they have kind of a progression in mind for kind of what people will get into and if that will lead them into other things. Like, I wonder if they actually have sort of a best case scenario for this person picks up Cooking Mama or like whatever the Wii Play or whatever, you know, picks up something. Like, what do they buy next? Like, are we trying to move them into Mario and then something else? Like, I don't know. Like, what are they trying to do? Because it seems like an odd thing to for people probably who have either haven't played a video game in a super long time, or maybe this is the first Wii game they get that isn't Wii Fit and Wii Play and all that, to be like, this is what you can do with a video game. You can turn it on and like, if
are they going to be putting this stuff in the core games? Is
well, the first game it's in is New Super Mario Brothers. That's the one it's been. That's I but think I mean, the like, only one.
Are we going to see it in Zelda 2010 or 11? Oh, or whatever?
No, I doubt it. I have no idea.
It seems like. A 2D Mario game, and like at most extreme case, a 3D Mario game is often like on the Venn diagram of people who play Wii Fit and core games and core gamers. Like that one is kind of
in
the middle, but like you can't go too much further. Although I would love it if there was a Nintendo help in Wii Fit where it would just do the sit-ups and stuff for you.
Not losing enough weight. Enable Nintendo help. The ghost is way more fit than you are.
It's this ripped ghost.
Yeah,
that'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah. But do you know what I mean at all? Like, I may not have explained myself very well. Like, I'm curious.
I don't know. I didn't watch the Nintendo keynote, so I don't really know. But this is a suspicious confession. But all that I actually watched was the YouTube video of the Bombcast talking about sometimes or maybe and never.
Oh yeah, that's the only thing I've seen from the Nintendo thing as Actually,
we're retarded.
All I've seen is that. And
I sort of feel like there isn't really a path. Is it they see the? I mean, I think that Nintendo potentially does see it as a Venn diagram of circle of people who play Wii Fit and Wii Sports and Wii Play and whatever casual cooking mama or something. And then there's the people who are in it for Zelda, Metroid, Mario, Pikmin multiplayer.
Oh, fuck yeah. No, I think you're actually right.
And then there's a little intersection, and I think that on the pie chart of the casual group, they probably are like, well, maybe this, you know, there's a percentage of people who will end up bleeding over, like, as you get older or younger. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know.
But I think that they just have a new market that, no, that they're exploiting, and I don't think that they're hoping that they're going to convert those people, which sucks. But what do you do?
No, it's true. I think you're right. That's a good point. And it's funny because it is so incredibly different to how Microsoft and Sony clearly look at it, which is, now that we've gotten rid of this controller, everyone's going to play a game, and then they're going to play a Halo game in 5 years.
Yep, like your mom will be playing Gears of War 4 with her brain.
Like, you know that's probably what Microsoft intends to happen.
I can't imagine people thinking that.
Well, not. I mean, that's exaggerating
a bit. I think it's what people sort of, at the back of their mind, are hoping for, theoretically. I would not be surprised if there are things that sort of just charts and sort of long-term plans that sort of have that trend built into them.
Right.
But I think the more overt hope, I would imagine, is that now that they have these other control methods, they're just going to get a glut of stupid casual games that people will eat up.
Right. Well, they might. Although they might not. I mean, the idea of having to buy a peripheral to do that is difficult.
Well, there's that rumor that the Project Natal is on an all-new console.
Or that it is the new console. Oh, yeah, shit. There's all that. So I don't even know what to think of any of that stuff. So I don't even.
It's just.
I don't even want to.
You open up a paper bag and
you thought we just got rid of the controllers, we got rid of the consoles too. You're actually just playing charades, like
it's like on the TV when the camera pans around from, you're just watching Family Matters, like, there's no game
in the
there.
Lifestyle footage, right,
driving race car, Formula One, got it, okay, good, nice, kickboxing, yes, perfect.
So what Natal is actually, it's actually voice activation that changes the channel. So, racing, and it actually just goes to the NASCAR channel or whatever.
Right.
And
you just go, it's like the kid in the arcade playing on the insert coin screen.
Yeah.
But with your HD television.
Hilariously, that might have actually happened to some extent, like during a Microsoft demo of this. I don't know. Someone compared some lifestyle videos of some famous dudes. I don't know who they were, but It was video Microsoft shot of famous people playing Project Natal game. Like, it was the Burnout game that they retrofitted the thing into.
It's like I'm driving.
Right.
Game over. Blinking on.
And apparently the exact same footage was on screen for both of the, like, it was a car that kind of skids off the track and then bounces off a side and then flips upside down and crashes. And then it's like, you crashed. And in both cases, the same foot, like the actual same frame by frame footage was on, and the guys playing it in both cases were like, oh man, I totally spun out and burned out and crashed. If that was real life, I would have just been owned right now. And maybe it was actually a sham, like, I don't know, but apparently people played it, so
cool.
Maybe it's real too. I don't really know what that meant, but something was weird. What was I talking about? I think somehow originally I was talking about Penumbra.
Yes, you were.
Yeah, speaking of something way less hilarious, I don't know.
That Adventure games.
Yeah, I know. It's actually a very, it's a very like melancholy, solitary game, but I kind of like that about it. I like games. I think that's a vibe that can be done well in games and be really cool and immersive and interesting. It's what I liked about, I mentioned this the other day, the Metroid Prime games, but the reason I bring it up again is because...
But then you'll love the new Metroid game.
Yeah,
sorry.
The reason I want to bring it up is because I think that... Did you see that trailer?
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was horrible.
Oh, man. I love anime and dubbed anime actors, so and I love Metroid games. So what I've always wanted, playing the Prime games, you just think to yourself, I wish that characters would talk... And with really stilted dialogue and bad voice acting. And
why
I wish
can't Samus flip more times?
Yeah. Why can't she look like some sort of, like, you know, anime lady? Why can't there be a general? That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah.
They were kind of... All of my wishes are fulfilled with this game.
Yeah. Team Ninja.
Why can't they do a Metroid game in 3D that has Zero Suit Samus, you know, posing?
That's what I was asking also. Now,
yeah, and now there's some flips and stuff.
And the answer is we can.
Yep. Thank God.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, playing Metroid Prime, pretty boring.
Yeah, that game sucked.
Not immersive and amazing.
Yeah. It's too bad because there were kind of some steps taken towards that in Metroid Prime 3, but it seemed like they kind of... tried it for a bit and then kind of gave up.
We just totally internet guide right there, but like the opposite of that. That was horrible. Sorry. Sarcasm. I'm well, the worst. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry about
anyway,
that.
Anyway, what's it? Metroid something?
Other M?
Yeah, it's the Other M. Hmm. When that was announced before the videos were shown and stuff,
yeah.
I remember there were just people kind of said, oh, hope it's not full of dialogue and cheesy action and stuff.
Really?
The trailer.
Was it announced before the trailer? I think
people had, there were some write-ups of the trailer, but the video hadn't come up. There was a six-hour window of like, oh, okay. And then the trailer came out and it was that. I think there's probably a lot of people who are super into that though.
There are a lot of people. I saw links where people were like, you may never have realized that what you wanted was for Samus to pull off crazy Final Fantasy style combos.
Yes.
But you actually did, and here's why. A trailer from the people who brought you Dead or Alive.
Yeah.
It's actually not what I want at all. I don't know. Maybe it's totally Metroid out for the gameplay part, but like...
Yeah, I mean, the game could be super sweet.
Maybe it will be. I don't know.
The presentation felt like...
They didn't succeed
like,
in making
there was,
me excited
there was like
at
that
all.
Sort of the era of like your license is a 2D game. It's actually what I had expected to happen when Metroid went 3D for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like it's gone even for like that trailer at least feels like it's gone even more like 3DO port than it feels like someone got a hold of the license in an era when people forgot that what people like in continuations of the series is the gameplay and not just seeing the character looking better and doing more extreme tricks.
Right.
And I thought I really liked that Prime felt like tonally and from a gameplay standpoint, like a Metroid game.
Yeah, I completely agree.
And this game seems to just be like, what if Samus was in 3D? Like, wait, it already was.
What if we could have pre-rendered cutscenes?
Well,
or whatever they are.
Hopefully it's amazing.
Yeah, maybe it will be. I don't know. I'm already pretty unenthused about this game. Like, I'm not going to be paying any attention to it actively. But it's funny too because just actually yesterday or today or something, I happened to see a trailer for a fan remake version of Metroid 2, the Game Boy, the one on Game Boy, which I kind of liked actually. I kind of like that game.
That's the Return of Samus.
The Return of Samus, yeah. And you know, it's probably an essential thing to play if you've played Metroid 2. I mean, it's, I think the same game with SNES era graphics. I mean,
it's like Metroid a Super Metroid
treatment. Yeah. But honestly, like the sharp contrast in my mind created by the most recent Metroid thing I'd seen before that being the Other M trailer, going from that kind of crazy flip fest to full on just like solitary Metroid Samus with like cool atmospheric music exploring crazy space station. God, it made me having that low point in my mind previously made my enjoyment of this trailer so hilariously extreme. I'm like, oh man, a Metroid game. Metroid. It was really cool. I don't know. It was worth watching that trailer for that reason. Hopefully these guys don't get shut down.
They will, especially now that we've mentioned it on the award-winning Idle Thumbs podcast. I know.
Now that everyone from Nintendo is going to hear it, because
they all listen to this.
I think that's true.
Well, I mean, you guys are all listening to this at home through the Nintendo channel on your Wii.
Of course. Or through the fart program on your iPhone. One of those.
One of those two.
Yeah.
We've got stat tracking now, so we know where most people are listening.
Sweet.
Non-existent functionality on the Wii and that fart program. That's PantsCast. Yeah, it's our base.
Good. Well, that's what I think about Penumbra. Anyway, God, I really should say something about this. The Penumbra games.
Okay, anyway, moving on.
Ta-da! They were recently on sale for $5, and so I did pick that up because they're all together at $5. And there are two games and an expansion.
Here's more sales you missed by Chris Cheeseplate Ramo. Well,
that's cool. They might still be cheap. I don't really know. But I don't know. They're very heavily physics driven. It's kind of like a lot of the physics-y stuff from Half-Life 2, but more,
but like without shooting,
more central to the game. Yeah, and less shooting. And
so it's all sort of stacking plastic things on a seesaw.
No, there's combat, but it's just with combat, like hand to hand stuff that you do with swinging things around.
So but it's like Home Alone.
What?
You know, you get the paint can and
no, I mean like
put the micro machines on the ground.
Right, exactly.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, you heat up a doorknob. that would actually be awesome. There's probably a game that's done that, heat up the doorknob. No, but I mean like actually swing stuff with your hand. Like the way you manipulate items is by dragging them around with your mouse.
Right. Sorry.
That's fine. Man, you're amused.
Hey, just swing stuff with your hand in a physics game. Reminds me of in Half-Life 2 when you have like the huge crate and you're trying to get it through the door and it's going. Yeah. And imagining a combat system based on that where you would just sort of look like a poorly animated cartoon trying to hit someone with a stick or something.
Right. Where you create the effect where you end up shooting the thing off at some insane speed because you break the physics.
Right. Things
you end up getting like divide by zero
in themselves and it goes flying off. Right. Yeah. I love that.
That's great. Yeah.
So that's how you fight people.
That would be
an amazing game, actually. I mean, I'm sure everyone in the entire world has joked about a fighting game called Z Fighters that is just polygons. Polygons intersecting.
A lot of people aren't going to get that.
Oh, Z fighting is, you know, when the Z buffer calculations, you know, you're in an area where it's not
overlap,
giving you a lot of space, so two polygons intersect, and that's where you get the flickering stuff. But if that was happening as well as those being physics based objects, so they would end up going right. And then go flying off into space. Sorry for that horrible explanation of a Z buffer. I don't entirely understand it.
That's fine.
Look it up on Wikipedia.
Yeah. Z Fighters, though. There probably has been a game called Z Fighters.
Yeah, we're just two and things intersecting. Like, I don't know. Two polygamous characters intersect.
Anyway. Made by Team Ninja. It's in the Metroid Other M game. Also Mass Effect 2.
In conclusion, Penumbra.
And Dragon Age. What?
I said in conclusion, Penumbra.
Also Penumbra. Jesus. Well, you might like Penumbra. Go look it up. I don't know. God, I give up.
It's a physics-based adventure game that has a sort of melancholy atmosphere.
Yep. Exactly. Well done.
I haven't played it. And I know nothing about it.
You know more than I do.
I've just heard you talk about it 15 times.
And I also played Blueberry Garden. I played through that.
Hmm.
That, I think, probably still is $5 on Steam and made by a dude. It actually won at the Independent Game Festival this year at GDC. And it's crazy. You know what? I thought of something the other day. This game actually reminds me a lot of Nobi Nobi Boy. Not mechanically at all. It's not remotely similar. It's a completely 2D game, and it's sort of side-scrolling-ish, but you can kind of fly around and move objects, and you're trying to get to a goal, sort of. It's hard to explain, but the thing that it reminds me of is that, remember when we were watching all the early Nobi Nobi Boy trailers before we actually really knew what you were doing in the game,
mm-hmm.
and it was just like, the trailer, yeah, and there's like the robot spinning around, right. And shit is happening, and there's like this worm guy doing stuff, and it's you have no idea how that trailer is going to actually correlate into what you do on the screen. And the Blueberry Garden reminds me of that. It's the same thing where you watch
that you're already playing the game.
What?
Like you? Oh, I see. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, like when you watch a trailer for that game, it's the same thing where you're like, there's a guy flying around and you like eat fruit and things change size and then you disappear and like now you're walking, like now you're flying.
I thought you were going to say that the gameplay experience is like watching the trailer to Nobi Nobi Boy.
It kind of is at the beginning, actually. But it's kind of, I got a similar I derived sort of a similar type of enjoyment out of it for a certain period of time because I liked slowly figuring out how the stuff I was learning to do resulted in that crazy shit that someone made a trailer of.
Right.
If you know what I mean? Like that, I sort of enjoyed that about Nobi Nobi Boy as well, where it's like when I watched a video of this, it was completely incomprehensible to me, but now I'm actually doing all that stuff.
Right.
That's something that is very uncommon in video games. I mean, usually we play games where we're so accustomed. You watch a video of a shooter, an RPG, or an adventure game or whatever, and it's like, okay, I know what those mechanics are. I've done them in a million other games. So I realize, you know, what someone was doing to make this trailer. In these games, until you play them, you really don't. And that's not in itself, like, good or bad, but it is something that's kind of funny and unique. And so I did enjoy it a little bit for that reason.
Yes.
And, yeah, you it's a weird game, but it's also $5. And I think there's a demo. Although I've heard the demo is not very good because it's very limited. But it's a wacky game.
Hmm. Yep. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you got anything else?
I don't think so. You? Any games? Sweet games?
No.
Nintendo Help Active. Continuing podcast. Video games, hot scoops, nice seg, Far Cry 2, the wizard.
What?
Oh, jinx.
I'm sorry. Have you seen the Necro Flyers from that game?
What? From Dead Space 2?
Yeah.
It's called Dead Space Extraction.
Have they announced Dead Space 2?
Yeah.
No, they haven't.
Oh,
and they released concept art for it.
For Dead Space Extraction for the Nintendo Wii.
Oh, and there's a thing called the Necro Flyer.
No, I haven't seen
which
that.
Which is a guy.
Isn't the same like genus as the Lust Minion?
What?
It kind of is, because it's a guy who's been transformed into sort of a bat-like...
creature.
Creature, yeah. You know, necromorph. So
bat-like minion, you might say.
Yeah, so he's got like a torso with no
necromorph?
Legs. Yes.
That's what they're called.
I don't
Dead
play
Space.
These games. Sorry, that's...
Yes.
Games.
Video
okay.
Games.
So,
I don't know.
All right, so in Dead Space, there's some sort of alien...
creature.
Creature?
Yeah, I
that turns people into weird things,
yeah,
and they're called necromorphs.
I didn't know that, though.
And a piece of concept art that was released for Dead Space 2...
Extraction.
Is a picture of something called a Necro Flyer.
That's the worst name.
Yeah, and it's a bat-like man that's like a man transformed into like a bat-like creature. And the thing is that like to like retain his humanity and make it disturbing.
He's making like jazz hands.
He's wearing shoes.
They left like a toupee. they left like a toupee on him. Like he still has like a part in his hair. But is a weird bat flesh
and
creature.
Glasses.
So you surmise this is actually intended to be a toupee that he can't part with the idea.
No,
of...
but I'm just saying it looks like one.
Oh, okay. Because that would be even more amazing. If that was the actual concept.
Well, he's got...
Like, now look, we really wanted to make sure this guy hung on to what he had left as a human. And so
he
still,
sort of morphs and picks it back up off the floor and puts it on. And then
there's his origin, scene. That,
no,
that
it's just like,
in the manual if you read about it. He wears his toupee.
No, it's just like
that noise he made as he takes to the sky.
Yeah, it's a skull-faced flesh bat creature with a hairstyle.
Because that happens a lot in these games for some reason.
No.
Okay.
Which game was it that had the upside-down skull? Is that
Doom 3?
Doom 3.
Doom 3?
Doom 3 had an upside-down skull spider monster.
Yeah. Other games, amazingly?
When I played that, I played it for a couple hours, and yeah, when I played it, that was kind of my initial reaction, and it made me not able to continue with it.
Right.
Because you just kind of you come around a corner and there's just a big
it's
like
comical.
Like, well, there's just a like, big shaved Muppet that like wobbles its arms at you, and you're like, yeah. Oh no,
God, you're really selling this. I should play this game
if you want.
If it contained an actual shaved Muppet, I would definitely play this game.
You should wait for the second one. It's got Necro Flyers.
That's true. I heard about they're spinning toupees and stuff.
Yeah. Wait,
visceral game.
Wait, you just said spinning.
I'm pretty sure that's in the game, right?
They aren't like a. They aren't
where you're like a zing, like.
Yeah,
they,
goes, They aren't on some like slapstick British comedy show from the 60s.
Well, no, isn't it? It's a guy with a toupee wearing like a yellow suit with red polka dots, and then his toupee goes flying off.
He's got a bow tie that spins around.
Yeah, it squirts water at you.
Like
I
a flower,
think.
Yeah.
And his eyes get like really big.
Yeah, this is confirmed facts about Dead Space 2 that we're talking about here.
No, they are not.
This is when like a woman with feathered hair and like a low cut dress says something that's like a double entendre, and then he looks at the camera.
Right, then she falls over. It's weird.
Yeah,
yeah. God, man, and shaved Muppets are everywhere. It's awesome. So good, man. Oh, so visceral.
Video games.
I saw your shirt in my peripheral vision, and I thought it was the Akira shirt with the kid
spy
walking towards the motorcycle.
No, it's not that.
No, it's the spy.
I'm aware.
From Team Fortress.
Yeah,
the
it's possibly less nerdy by degrees
than
an Akira shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got it for free. So
on the other hand, an Akira shirt has some amount of kind of old school cred at this point that it didn't have when we were in high school.
If that button-up shirt was silk and had flames on it.
And Gokus.
And also 1,000 Gokus.
Gokus.
Well, it would be like 3 big Gokus.
Well, there's like the one big Goku
right
here.
Yeah.
And like a small and silhouette gymnastics photo Goku.
Yeah. Well, but then there's one like going Super Saiyan on the back real
right
big.
Right, that's true. And then the spy shirt would lose by default.
Yeah.
Just because it was... Why are you wearing that Goku shirt?
Video game.
Poor Bionic Commando.
Video game.
Hey, that's my line.
Jack up your butt.
Whoa, that's yours, though.
For the puffins.
Jack up your butt for
no,
puffins.
No, check.
This is like, Jack, yeah. What are you talking
Jack
about?
Jack up your butt for puffins.
What does this mean?
Idle Thumbs 31. Jack up your butt for puffins.
Oh, puffins are back. Awesome.
And butts